ISS 1100 AM Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The presidential race moving into the final weeks. Kamala Harris and Donald Trump on an interview blitz. She is on Fox News. He is on Univision today. Family members of Lyle and Eric Menendez held a news conference in Los Angeles today to advocate for the resentencing of the brothers who were convicted of murdering their parents 35 years ago. Recent evidence of chronic sexual and physical abuse at the hands of their father has surfaced. Their aunt says at the time of the murders, the world wasn't ready to believe that boys could be abused like that.
Today we know better. We know that abuse has long-lasting effects, and victims of trauma sometimes act in ways that are very difficult to understand.
The federal government has approved nearly $2 billion in assistance across six states to help people hit so hard by Hurricanes Helene and Milton. Israeli airstrikes pounding areas in Lebanon today, killing at least 27 people over the past 24 hours. This is ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WISS News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at WISS.FM.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Most public schools in Wisconsin will get more money from the state this year. The Department of Public Instruction is out with its general state aid figures. Two-thirds of school districts will get more money, a third will get less. In all, Wisconsin is sending about $5.5 billion to local schools. Local clerks say they'll run a free and fair election on November 5th. Brian Hinkle is with the Movement Advancement Project. He says local clerks in states take great care each step of the way.
For many voters, they cast a ballot and that feels like the end of the process. But in reality, that's the first step in a deliberate, specific, and careful process to get the final election results.
Congress adopted new safeguards for the electoral count process after the 2020 presidential election. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WISS News, I'm Lisa Hale. The Green Bay Area Public School District presented its 2025 budget to the Board of Education Monday. Chief Financial Officer Angie Robles said if the referendum on November 5th's ballot passes, the mill rate, on which property taxes are based, will go down from $8.26 to $7.65. That's a 7% decrease.
Strategically, as a district, we have always kind of set ourselves up so that mill rate stays as steady or as stable as we possibly can, so we don't see all of these peaks and valleys.
A public hearing on the budget will be held October 28th before the district votes on it. The Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction has announced the general school aid to districts this year. It's the largest form of state support for PK through 12 schools. The Appleton Area School District will receive a 9.88% increase over last year's numbers. Green Bay Area Public Schools will receive a 7.02% increase, and Oshkosh will get 10.26% more than last year. And that's what you need to know. I'm Lisa Hale, WISS News.
The Bucks head to Dallas. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks fly to Dallas to play the Mavericks tomorrow night in their final preseason game. Head coach Doc Rivers on trying to make his practice sessions feel more like actual NBA games.
You can even have defenders in practice, but they're each other. And then, you know, we're blowing the whistle. And so everyone's going to play right. Then the game starts, and the guy next to you may call you a name or something. All of a sudden, you forget all that. It becomes competition, and you stop trusting. And so we got to be able to play through that, and that's where we're at.
NFL, the Packers back in the practice field, getting ready for the Texans, and they have a new place kicker. He's veteran Brandon McManus, who was with the Broncos 8 years, then the Jaguars. He'll replace rookie kicker Braden Narveson, who was released by the team yesterday after just six games. College football, the Wisconsin Badgers face the Wildcats at Northwestern Saturday, kickoff at 11 a.m. with sports on Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, a low to the mid-30s. Sunny, breezy, and warmer tomorrow, high low 60s. Sunny with the wind picking up for Friday, high upper 60s. A slight rain chance for Friday night in early Saturday. The weekend temps will stay mild. It's 55 right now.
From the lakeshore to Lake Winnebago.
Door to Fond du Lac counties.
Northeast Wisconsin is special for many different reasons. I'm Lisa Hale.
And I'm Terry Barr. Family and fun.
Safe communities and friends. We're featuring all of it as part of New Wisco Weekend, a news magazine show just for you, and highlighting what makes the Fox Valley and Green Bay area a great place to live.
Join us.
New Wisco Weekend, Saturday mornings at 8, Sundays at 11 on WGBW and WISS and the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Bill Carroll, president of Teamsters Joint Council 389, based here in Milwaukee. They have endorsed Vice President Kamala Harris and Governor Tim Walz for president and vice president.
Trump offers nothing to a regular working class person. Talking about not taxing tips and not taxing overtime. Well, you don't have to tax overtime if there is no more overtime. That's in his Project 2025.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome a couple National Lampoon guys, writer Jeff Tully and actor and voice of the network Jamie Kaler. And the Marinette Rec Center's Sean Katzbeck talks blues, brews, and barbecue.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8. This is Oshkosh Air Support, WISS. Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app. This is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842. Matt Rothschild in the studio with us. Jess is on the board, you on blinds. My understanding, the Harris interview is going on Fox News right now. We will do our best to get that sound and bring it to you. In the meantime, we've got some callers holding over from the last hour. Nick from Madison, you are up. Welcome, Nick. What do you got for us?
Hey, yes, I have a big problem with the child tax credit because I'm not a breeder. I don't have kids.
Okay.
I pay more taxes.
Well, you don't have kids, but you also pay taxes for schools, right? Maybe, you know what I'm saying? And you don't maybe not take the bus lines, but we have mass transit. So do you have to be receptive of the thing in order to support it, Nick?
No, I don't think I do because, don't get me wrong, I have two nieces I love to death, and my brother takes the child tax credit. Of course he does. Yes. But I can't do that because I don't have kids. So I'm paying more taxes because I'm not a breeder.
Okay. But you hear what I'm saying though, Nick. There's lots of things that perhaps you may not be using. Maybe you don't use the park systems. Maybe you don't drive on the roads a lot. I mean, aren't there things that we as taxpayers use and provide for that not every single person uses? And if that's your only criteria, I guess I don't know what to tell you, Nick. Matt, you got any thought on that for Nick?
Thanks for the call, Nick, by the way. But I do think Dom is making the right point here. Just because you don't, you know, take advantage of every possible thing that the government offers doesn't mean it's bad for the government to offer that to some people. And the understanding is that people who have children, you know, have extra expenses. It's harder to make a go of things. And so the government should help them out a little bit. I mean, the government gives all sorts of tax benefits to people all the way across the board for a whole variety of things, including fossil fuel use.
That's their choice.
Well, yeah, and Nick, the term breeder is kind of offensive. I mean, some people do have adopted children and have stepchildren, you know. So thanks for the call, man. But if your only criteria is supporting some sort of thing is if you are the beneficiary thereof, I think you're kind of missing the point to a large degree of we the people, man. You know, there's a lot of people that are hurting in North Carolina right now because of those hurricanes. Do you think we should not have FEMA because your house didn't get hit by the hurricane, Nick? I mean, it's just a little out there. Well, I get it. It's kind of a libertarian thought. I get that. But ultimately, this is for the betterment of lots of people, not just the individuals. 855-752-4842. Joel from Madison, you'll be next. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Hi, you guys. Great discussion with Gwen Moore, but also great discussion prior to that on where we are going if we elect the fascist that is right before us, and that would be Mr. Trump. And I think that one of the things that's interesting, you were talking about, well, what happens if they decide to just, he just decides to say, oh, Insurrection Act, and start jailing whoever he regards as, you know, the vermin, the enemies within. I would argue that the enemies within may be people that didn't expect to be enemies within. For example, once he starts with this idea of taking people who work in dairies, all of the various immigrants who work in the dairies in Wisconsin and other places across the country, geez, I think there might be a lot of dairy farmers that are marching on Washington and might be subject to that Insurrection Act, and they didn't really have any idea that they too might be carted off. I would also add to this that I think once veterans start to take a look at what's being proposed in that Project 2025, where it says, the actual says in there that they want to ensure that there is political control of the Veterans Administration from day one by replacing civil servants with political appointees. Oh, gee, that wouldn't be a problem. Not at all. Particularly because then they're talking about basically changing the disability ratings as to how people are whether they can apply or not. Downward, because they don't want so many. You know, they don't want people going to get disabled, to be described as disabled from their service, and to be eligible for all of the benefits that arrive at that. Holy cow! This is a group of people who were promised when they entered. They were promised that they would be taken care of if they were disabled, and they wanted, for example, they want to say certain things might not be a disability anymore and covered. So, for example, with veterans, depression might not be covered anymore. Gee, you don't see too many veterans suffering from depression and related conditions. So what are they supposed to do? Just, you know, get a bottle of Muscatel and see if they can make it go away? This is ridiculous. So I would argue that people kind of think, oh, it's just going to be Black Lives Matter. It's going to be all sorts of people who are affected by this administration and who might want to take to the streets and who might be very surprised. Thanks a lot, you guys.
Great call from Joe.
Always, Joe. Thank you for your perspective. And I think you're absolutely right. It goes beyond just, you know, your points, is that the unknowns that occur when you have a fascist state. Everyone thinks, oh, you know, he'll just take care of those people. Right? That's like the saying you said, Matt. Everyone thinks it's not going to be them. And I think that is the most common mistake when dealing with these kinds of scenarios where you're talking about, you know, fascist tendencies and having those folks in charge of, you know, the Army, the National Guard, and the Department of Justice.
Right, and what Joe was saying about the VA, that there's going to be political control of the VA, well, after the Supreme Court decision on the executive branch powers, I mean, he's going to have political control of everything in the executive branch. But look, we're looking at, with this enemies from within language, so stuff straight out of George Orwell's 1984 and Animal Farm. You know, whatever the great leader says who the enemy is today, is the enemy today, and we'll have a new enemy tomorrow. That's how it works.
And that enemy is varied, and it changes from day to day. And that, you know, you could be the most valued advisor to the president ever, and the next day you're a lowly coffee boy who's cooling her heels in the slammer because, you know, you didn't bring the Diet Coke, you brought the new Coke. 855-752-4842. Jim from Appleton, you're next. Welcome, Jim. What do you got for us?
Hi, guys. I just wanted to respond to Nick's child tax credit thing. My kids are all in their late 30s, so obviously I'm not going to be able to qualify for a child tax credit.
Right.
But I put it down like the wheel tax that some of our cities have. It used to be a nasty, heavy assessment, which I had to pay once, to get you street repaired in front of your house.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they finally decided to spread it out to all the people that drive on the roads in the city and put a wheel tax on. So instead of getting hit with a $3,000 bill to fix the street in front of my house, which I had to pay, everybody now has to pay $25 a year, and the street gets fixed.
Right.
You got, you know, yeah, you get child tax credit if you have minor children. Great. That credit helps you raise those children.
Sure does. Sure does. And it raises them, Jim, it raises them out of poverty, too. I mean, let's not forget about that minor detail, Matt. You know, the folks that are getting this are going to use it, and they're going to use it on taking care of their family. And that money is not going to sit hoarded in a bank account somewhere. That money is going to flow through the economy.
Yeah, and Biden-Harris child tax credit increase lowered child poverty by 50%, as Congresswoman Gwen Moore mentioned. I mean, that in my book is a good thing.
Mine as well. 855-752-4842. Perhaps an opposing thought on this. Our pal Gary from Sussex. Welcome, Gary. What do you got?
Well, I listened to Gwen Moore, and it's like, for me, what I hear is like it's a joke listening to her. Now, she calls people buffoons, fascists, MAGA, whatever they call it, whatever. But I don't know why. I'm not saying you, Dom. I'm saying, why do people on the other side of the way I believe resort to always calling people by their names?
Okay, let me give you an example. Let me be very specific, and then I'll let Matt and anyone jump in as you want. Donald Trump has specifically called out Pelosi and Adam Schiff as the enemy from within, says they're left-wing lunatics, and says that someone should use the National Guard or the Army against them. Well, what do you call that behavior? How would you describe that, if not fascist, Gary? Come up with another adjective for me, please.
I believe in my heart that if he was going to use the Army to come after people
this is what he's saying, man. Come on, Gary. Let me reiterate. The former Department Secretary of Defense, Esper, we played the sound, has come out and said, yes, you should be very concerned. Former Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Milley, came out and said, yes, this guy's fascist to the core. Now, those aren't lefty, liberal, you know, Congresswoman Gwen Moore types, man. These are the folks that served under Donald Trump in that administration in military roles. I highly doubt these are the woke folks, Gary. If you don't like that terminology, maybe you should talk to the people Donald Trump hired.
Look, he can't do that. He cannot use the military and the National Guard.
He can.
He can.
Just declare it's an insurrection act. It's insurrection.
Yeah, he has the sole power to invoke the Insurrection Act. And
complete immunity for it.
Yeah, and the U.S. Supreme Court gave him a total green light. So what do you mean he can't do it? He can do it. He would have the power to do it, and he certainly has the inclination to do it. He told us that already.
Well, okay, this is your interpretation, and I don't believe it's gonna happen.
What would you call it, Gary? Hang on. Let's be clear. I just mentioned Milley and Esper. Do you just discount their opinions, man? They're a bunch of yo-yos, and you think they're Milley's full of it, right? They served with the guy. They don't know what they're talking about.
Milley's is, in my opinion, is a traitor. In my
traitor?
Opinion. And
why?
And not calling him a name. Yeah. I think he's just. First of all, we got this woke. No, listen.
What? What? No, man. You said he's a traitor. How is he a traitor? You got 30 seconds, Gary. How is Milley a traitor?
He has, as far as I'm concerned, the military is weak because of him.
All right. Thank you, Gary, for trying. 855-752-4842. We'll come back with some more of your phone calls. Plus, we'll do our damnedest to get some of the sound of Kamala Harris, the big sit-down over the Foxy Don't Call It News as well. We appreciate all of you listening, all you hanging out with us. It's a phone line. It's a text line. 855-75-CIVIC. While you're at it.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, the Fox Valley's home of Mino and the Mayor.
Do you have a home you'd like to rent out but don't know where to start? Consider Simple Life Rentals, a property management company partnered with booking sites like Airbnb and Expedia, amplifying your home's exposure to the marketplace. Simple Life Rentals screens guests and creates an owner portal with analytics, rental agreements, and legal guidelines. We give you complete visibility into how your manager's doing, ensuring your property is well-maintained and maximizing your return on investment. Get peace of mind. Simple Life Rentals. Vote.com.
This is an important announcement for Wisconsinites who plan to vote in the November 2024 election. Leading nonpartisan economists have analyzed the economic plans of Donald Trump and concluded that he would cause inflation to rise and the economy to slow. And 16 Nobel Prize-winning economists wrote a letter warning that Donald Trump would reignite inflation with his fiscally irresponsible budgets. Donald Trump's tariff plan would act as a national sales tax, costing the average family as much as $4,000 per year. But Vice President Kamala Harris's plan would help middle-class families deal with rising costs. In her first 100 days, Kamala Harris would pass a ban on price gouging at the grocery store. And as vice president, she worked to cap the cost of many prescription drugs, including insulin, saving many families thousands of dollars per year. On the economy, the choice is clear. Vote Kamala Harris for president. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together Action, www.abwt-action.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
When it comes to accurate, reliable election information for Wisconsin voters, visit the official site. It's myvote.wy.gov. It's the big cheese, you could say. It's your one-stop source for official Wisconsin election information. Find your polling place, see your sample ballot, make sure your registration is up to date, and more at myvote.wy.gov. Sponsored by Wisconsin Elections Commission, aired by Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842. Going to go back to the lines. It's a talk line. It's a text line. And we've got Cindy from Appleton on the line. Thank you, Cindy. Welcome to the show. What do you got for us?
Well, Gary, welcome to a Hitler syndrome. I mean, Trump has called veterans lowlifes, schmucks, losers for ending up going to war. He insulted John McCain for being a war hero. He's called people all kinds of names. But, you know, when the Republicans do that, that's okay. When the Democrats do it, then it's, oh, my God, the sky is falling. But I kind of wanted to just go back to what Nick said a little bit, and I kind of get where he's coming from because I sort of feel the same way because I believe in zero population growth. And I don't think we should reward people for having children they can't afford. So I'm just going to throw that in there because,
come on.
You know, seriously.
What?
I mean,
what?
If you can't afford kids, you shouldn't have them.
What if you have them accidentally and you can't get access to an abortion? Then you're forced to have the kid.
I can live with one kid. I can live with one. I mean, when people were on welfare, I was okay. I said,
all right, but then are you going to pay for the operation to make sure they can't have children anymore? Is that something we want our tax dollars to be funding?
I think that money could be better served for going into mental health programs.
Well, sure, but Cindy, I mean, do you think it's a zero-sum game? Let me ask you, do you think there's only so much money to go around? I mean, do you think that in order to provide, resources to make sure children aren't in poverty as a society that we have to somehow take away from something else?
To some degree, yes.
I mean, Cindy, this is the problem. You're punishing the children for the choices that the parents are making that you don't like their choices. But, you know, let's see who that's really adversely affecting. Yeah, it may be adversely affecting the parents, but it's really adversely affecting the children who are, you know, in dire poverty. And we don't want, no one wants children to, you know, go hungry and suffer because of the choices their parents make. So the child care tax credit, the child tax credit is the single most effective tool we have to reduce child poverty. And to disdain that, I think, is a big mistake.
Thank you for your call, Cindy, 855-752-4842. Jack from the MAC, you are next. Welcome, Jack. What do you got for us?
The question that I have for the followers of Trump is this.
Didn't your daddy ever tell you that if a man tells you he's evil, believe him? This guy has told us what he's going to do. Believe him. And it won't just be progressives like me or progressive radio stations like Civic Media. It will be everybody that's affected by this. One thing to ask themselves if they're worried about the economy also, have you ever heard of an authoritarian government that is financially successful?
Great point.
There's none in the world that I can find.
It's a great point, Jack from the Mac. Appreciate it. You could throw out maybe China there. You know, they're doing okay. I mean, they're doing okay. They're not certainly not the powerhouse of an economic force that the United States is. And they certainly have the, call it, different labor laws. But there are some, you know, authoritarian regimes that do make money. Hell, they make our iPhones, man.
Yeah, I mean, capitalism and authoritarianism can go hand in hand. They went hand in hand for two decades in Chile when Pinochet was running the show there with the generals. You know, the capitalists did great down there. But, you know, the people suffered, and that's the real issue.
855-752-4842. Let's keep going down the line. Cam from Appleton, you're up. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, I think we shouldn't even pay heed to too much or give, like, attention too much to the Fox News interview with Kamala, at least on our end, because I think it just boosts your numbers up because they're too busy talking about Jack Mayhoff or Drew Peacock and then the lies with Lieutenant Governor Mike Hawk. And I don't know.
Thank you for your contribution, Cam. 855-752-4842. Mark from the SAC, you're up. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Oh, I kind of got lost, you know, picking up on what the previous caller was doing there. And let's remember that under Franco, Spain didn't prosper as it was, and it was an authoritarian for how many decades was he the authoritarian there after he had tossed out the liberal government that was in Spain prior to the Civil War there. I mean, and I can remember Gary saying, well, he wouldn't trust Trump with his wife or his daughter, but he's trusting him with the government of the United States, and everything Trump says is just deeply disturbing. And I saw little clips of him and his little dance party that he was doing, I think on Jimmy Kimmel, and there's some women there that was later on, and these women were looking at, up on the stage, were looking at Donald Trump, and their mouths were just what dropped open from just kind of shock, and the terror that I saw in their eyes. Even Kristi Noem, I saw this kind of smile on her face, but her eyes looked like...
Yes.
Even she's got freaky eyes, but... Her eyes was like she was scared too. What the hell was going on?
She was. Everyone, it was obvious, and that's what made it so uncomfortable and weird. And thanks for the call, Mark. And they tried to play it off. I mean, Kristi Noem, you know, sat up there for 39 minutes clapping and trying to play it off. All the people in the stands behind the former president as he's swaying side to side and clapping and singing. You know, they're kind of looking at each other. You know, what are we doing? It was the strangest thing.
Really bizarre. Shows that he's either totally losing it or that he's just so much in his own, you know, egotistical, narcissistic head that, you know, whatever the emperor wants to do, if the emperor wants to dance now, or if you call that dancing, sway to the music.
Right.
That's what all
the wobbling.
That's what the whole audience needs to do because he's the king.
It's supposed to be a town hall. It was supposed to be a town hall. And what is it that when Donald Trump tells you something, in these regards, when he acts in these fascist manners, these dark tones, that for some reason the megas don't believe. They don't believe it. Oh, he's just what? He's joking? He's being sarcastic? Is that what you think? And then, you know, you have Kamala Harris and you have, for instance, the economic plans that are looked at by independent economists and telling you, well, Kamala Harris's plan is better. You don't believe that either? I mean, what do you believe? And how do you base your decision-making? It's really befuddling to me, and Donald Trump keeps continuing to spiral downward. But this program keeps getting better with your calls, 855-752-4842.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, home for the Todd Allball Show.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun.
It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Former President Barack Obama will campaign for Kamala Harris in Wisconsin next week. He'll join Democratic vice presidential candidate Tim Walz in Madison on Tuesday. Tuesday is also the first day of in-person early voting in Wisconsin. Wisconsin lawmakers are looking at potential ways to curb artificial intelligence abuses. Sarah Ault is an ethical AI expert who serves on the legislature's AI task force. At a meeting yesterday, she sounded skeptical that licensing and professional codes could help.
Then people just go looking for places where they can work outside of that code.
This summer, the governor's AI task force recommended K-12 digital literacy training, help for people who lose their jobs due to AI, and investing in more research. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WISS News, I'm Lisa Hale. The Kimberly Area School District will have a new superintendent in the 2025-26 school year. The school district announced Assistant Superintendent Holly Prast will take over when Superintendent Robert Mayfield retires in July. Prast has been the Assistant Superintendent of Kimberly Schools for the past 11 years. Mayfield announced his retirement after 32 years of service at the start of this school year. While fall may be considered football season, the colder temperatures bring the start of basketball, too. The Wisconsin Herd, the G-level team for the Milwaukee Bucks, is gearing up for its home opener at the Oshkosh Arena on November 15th. Team President Steve Brandis.
Yeah, we'd love to have you run with the Herd more this season.
The Herd is looking for singers to perform the national anthem before the start of home games. See our story at WISS.FM for information on auditions this Sunday. And that's what you need to know. I'm Lisa Hale, WISS News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. It seems like people cannot hate the Joker sequel enough. The film has reviewed poorly with critics and audiences and a legendary screenwriter. Paul Schrader is jumping into the fray, saying he went shopping in the middle of the film. Schrader says he got so bored he went to the store and came back and watched about 10 minutes and then just left altogether. The man who wrote Taxi Driver, Raging Bull, and Affliction said, "I don't like either of those people. I don't like them as actors. I don't like them as characters. If they came to your house, you'd slip out the back door." That's right. He hates the movie so much he'd leave his house while strangers were there. Ouch. Speaking of the Joker, the studio behind Folio Do, Warner Brothers, says it expects to lose between $150 and $200 million on the movie. Variety reports that the film's domestic box office take will probably top out at about $65 million and about $210 million globally. Unfortunately, it costs $200 million to make and $100 million to market. That's more money than I make in a year. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, a low to the mid-30s. Sunny, breezy, and warmer tomorrow, high low 60s. Sunny with the wind picking up for Friday, high upper 60s. A slight rain chance for Friday night and early Saturday. The weekend temps will stay mild. It's 55 right now.
Matt Nair on air.
She's the fabulous farm babe. She is Pam Yonke. One of the reports that you guys did from last week was about the cow photographers.
When you go to World Dairy Expo, it never ceases to amaze me. Hair dryers, goop for their hair, for their hooves, everything. When it's time for them to go potty, somebody walks around behind them with a bucket. Now that's pampering, if you ask me.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Alba Show.
Some group of kids from Stevens Point were using racial slurs against black and mixed race players on the Eau Claire North team. Let's go to Joe. What's he?
One of the things that makes this state great is the legacy of Vince Lombardi. He tells his players, "You are all equal on my team." Vince Lombardi would never have tolerated that sort of behavior, and he's one of our heroes.
Joe, as you always do, you nailed it.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. We'll break down Vice President Harris's interview with Fox News and a what's worse. Be here.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2. We'll be right back.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. It's a phone line. It's a text line. We got a couple of those out here. Here's one from the 608. The government needs people to raise children so they can join the workforce and continue to pay for the government. If people cannot afford to have children, lower birth rates will cause economical problems. So I guess that, you know, we need a growing population one way or the other. Matt, it's either going to be with children, you know, being born, or with migrants coming in. I mean, those are the two ways that it happens.
I mean, this idea that we just shouldn't pay for kids getting out of poverty, I think is crazy. So, I mean, that's the child care, the child tax credit. That's what it does primarily, is help the kids get out of poverty. And these people don't like the fact that people are having kids. You're not going to stop people from having kids.
No.
I mean, even the Chinese government going to do that.
All you need is an aspirin. And you take that aspirin, you put it between your knees, and then you just, that's all you need. That's your birth control, and you stop having kids, right?
Dom, no.
Who was that Republican elected official? Yeah, that was his birth control method.
Oh, my goodness, right? 855-752-4842. Let's talk about some happy things. Man, you know what makes me happy is Minnesota Governor Walz. This guy, when you hear him talk, and can I just share with you guys, the SNL is doing a great job, I think, right now. If you watched any of the recent SNLs this year, of portraying both Vice President Kamala Harris and Tim Walz, they're doing a bang up job. But this will be, we're gonna play.
Also, let me just interrupt. Dana Carvey on Biden, doing Biden, is just a killer too.
for real. I know, it's so good. I can't even fake it. It's so good and entertaining, and it actually hits a little close to home. And so thank you, President Biden, for stepping down and passing that baton.
And she's done such a great job catching the baton and running with it. I really admire. She's, you know, been in it now for 3 months, barely had a misstep the whole time. Very inspiring person, very smart, very intelligent, very calm, reasonable, decent.
She puts forth policy.
Yeah, she.
I really appreciate that. I can't emphasize that enough.
Yeah, the details are there for everyone who wanted details. They're right there. And she's just comported herself like a real leader, like a really decent human being who you can see as president of the United States. And compared to the other guy, I mean, he's just made a fool of himself.
It is. And he's talking about unleashing the power of the state against his political adversaries.
Yeah,
and
more than a fool. He's very, very scary.
There's real consequence to that. And if he were to get in and act on that and be supported by, you know, by the sycophants and the continual enablers, and hell, he's got, you know, whatever's left of the Republican Party and the mega party as his, you know, foot soldiers, quote unquote, you know, it could be a very terrible situation. And I hate to think in those terms. So I got to think to myself, if you see Donald Trump in the last couple of days, I mean, that interview with Bloomberg at the Chicago Economic Club, it was just absolutely terrible. You guys, I mean, I'm not even kidding you. I mean, this guy, he couldn't answer a question.
Yeah. And I know some people who have traditionally voted Republican, who are business people, kind of the people that Gwen Moore was talking about in the last hour. Yep. Traditional Republicans not voting for Trump this time. He's too off the wall. He's too scary. He's too incoherent. He's too narcissistic. It's one of the reasons I think he's going to lose. I think the Liz Cheney folks are, you know, going to come around and not vote for him. And there's a whole bunch of women who are not going to vote for this guy. And those two things combined with the Democratic Party's get out the vote efforts, I think that's what's going to put Kamala Harris over the top. But my credit goes to Kamala Harris primarily, because I think she's done such a good job.
She really has. I think she continues to coalesce. And, you know, when we talk about bringing a bipartisanship and working together, you know, there's going to be zero of that coming out of the MAGA party. And the Republicans that have come out and endorsed Kamala Harris, and apparently today she had about 100 Republicans on stage with her, at least at her rally. I mean that's bipartisanship. And these are, you know, generally former Republicans, because you can't be a quote-unquote Republican in the MAGA party in today's party and talk about bipartisanship and talk about you know, concerns for this country, given the fascist tendencies and certainly the statements. You can't talk about the enemy within. I mean, folks, really, you got to think about these terms and not only what he's saying and what he's specifying with specific political adversaries. Adam Schiff, Nancy Pelosi, calls them crazy left lunatics, and something's got to be done about it. I mean, these are not the words of a leader trying to bring us together to work for we the people. This is vindictive. It's dangerous, and we need to do is look at history, not even ancient history,
right,
to see the ramifications of continuing to go down that road.
And I think there is a craving among a majority of Americans for a calmer politics, nicer politics, bipartisan politics coming together. I mean, there is, you know, bloodlust among the cult, no doubt, which is really scary. But I don't think even, you know, half of the people who are going to vote for Trump are in the cult. You know, I think there's, you know, a fraction who are. There's a fraction who are, you know, business people. There's a fraction of people who always voted Republican. There's a fraction who say, well, it's my team against their team. But I do think most Americans want a more decent politics. And that's, I hope, what's going to put her over the top.
Amen, brother. 855-752-4842. We talked about some of the walls. Let's perhaps get to that, if you would, please. Just now, again, you know, the state of Wisconsin being overrun. I mean, we're filthy with politicians these days. I believe Walls was in Green Bay, what, yesterday, 2 days ago? I don't think the sound is from Green Bay, but let's get to some of that sound. Let's hear what Walls had to say initially talking about gun owners. And I've heard this from Republicans that, oh, you know, Kamala Harris is going to take your gun away. And they keep it's these same old things they keep going back to. I mean, at least this lie isn't racist, but it's still misguided. Let's hear Walls cut number one, please.
You got it.
This might be the first time in modern American history that both members of the Democratic ticket are gun owners. And the Republican nominee can't pass a background check to own a gun.
Oof. Ouch. Snap.
Oh, that hurts. That hurts just a little bit because true.
He knows how to line up those zingers.
You know what the right wingers are doing, though, on Fox and right wing talk radio? I happened to be scanning the radio while I was driving home from Minnesota the other day. You know, they're saying, oh, he really doesn't know how to hunt. He really doesn't know how to load his rifle. He doesn't know how to shoot a pheasant. You know, well, we've seen the video of him shooting the pheasant.
I mean,
it was a deep fake, Matt.
Right.
That was a stuffed pheasant.
And I get his point, you know, because there are those that are really, really down on the gun thing. And you know, I own guns, you know, so what? You know, we have a right to bear arms, and really what we're talking about is to what degree, you know what I mean? And I don't think anyone's really considering the fact, no one can be armed. No one's saying that. No one has ever said that. It's a matter of what's appropriate for us when we bear those arms, you know what I'm saying? And as technology and years pass and the weapon systems get better and better, I don't think that we need, quote-unquote, weapons of war, weapons of battle on the streets. You know, because those are the things that kids get their hands on, and they're mass killing machines, regardless of whose hands they are in.
Yeah, we certainly don't need more of that.
No,
we don't need more of that. And we're talking about just, you know, regulation on the edges. We're not talking about those rights. And for Tim Walls to be a hunter, for the vice president to, you know, state that she owns a weapon. Yeah. And so do lots of people. So Republicans, get over yourself. They're not coming for your guns. Let's hear more from Tim Walls.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, cut number two.
Yeah, this is about the build event as a town hall that turned into something quite different.
He stopped taking questions and stood frozen on stage for 30 minutes while they played his Spotify list for people. Do you think he knows the story behind the YMCA song?
No, I don't. And another awkward moment was when Kristi Noem was sitting on stage and that song came up. She started doing a little like, well, what are we doing here? It's the YMCA.
I mean, that vindicates Tim Walz's adjective weird for this guy. It couldn't have been weirder the other night.
Doesn't it, though? And it wasn't just Donald Trump. Of course, he's the weirdest of them all, but if you're, I have to come up with a situation where I would stand there for almost 40 minutes while a political figure that I went to go see, have a town hall and talk about, very specific issues and, get my support, keep my support, and hopefully reach out to other folks and get their support. What does it say about the folks that would sit there for 39 minutes and sway along with their dear leader? It's very strange to me. But let's continue on with the very funny and uplifting Mr. Governor Walz. Cut three, please.
Sure. One more time. Calling it as he sees it.
It was strange, but if this was your grandfather, you would take the keys away. You would take the keys away. And I tell you this, look, it would be funny if this guy were not running for president of the United States.
Yeah.
And and that's where the buzzkill comes in. You know what I mean?
Like,
you're absolutely right, Walz. You're wow and laugh and figure, yes, take away the keys and Oh yeah. But he is literally that close to being the president of the United States again.
Right.
Right. And that's what gets me apoplectic this week as I see the polls narrowing and narrowing. How is that possible? How is it possible this guy has shown himself to be so totally unfit for office in every way that you could measure that and so dangerous? And how can it be closing the gap? And scares me. Got to be real with you. It's scary.
It is troubling, but all we can do is continue to inform the people what we perceive as being the problem here and what we perceive as because I wouldn't have him for a guest on the show. You know what I mean? I wouldn't invite him over for dinner.
Hey, Robin Voss. Robin Voss doesn't want him as his neighbor, but he's
but voting for him. And that's the hard part. But I would say this: when we get closer, and as the heat gets hotter, and when Donald Trump goes out and does these weird things, and I think if you look at the trend line, they're getting more and more strange, and they're getting more and more common. But the whole business thing, you go to this economic club in Chicago yesterday, and I don't use the term lightly, crap the bed. I mean, you're talking to business folks. This guy used to be with The Economist, and now he's with Bloomberg. He knows what he's talking about. You can't pull the wool, business wool. You can't talk about finances and tariffs and global economic circumstances with a guy like that and just think you're going to be able to pull the wool over his eyes and, roundabout and weave your way through a conversation.
And it's not the first time. I mean, he was with the Business Roundtable a month ago, and he was not answering their questions. And, these folks are smart. They know their economics. They know their profit and loss statements. They know what moves markets. They know economic policy. And when you can't, be articulate about those important issues, it really shows you cannot BS your way around that crowd. And he proved it then, and he proved it again in Chicago with that economic thing that you're talking about.
Yeah, he's consistent in that regard. And again, these are smart folks. They understand the business world, let's call it the economic world. And one of the things that folks in those positions are very concerned about is can we keep a consistent economy going?
Yeah, stability. They want stability.
Exactly. Do we have stability? Can we project? Can we understand? Can we predict what will happen next quarter, two quarters from now, a year from now? Because for better or worse, those are many of the timelines, especially talking about quarterly bonuses, that a lot of these folks are working on. And if you don't have that consistency, and it can be very bad for business. Folks, this is the Dom Salvia Show. That is Matt Rothschild. We got Jess on the board. We got one more segment. And I'd like to spend a little bit of time talking about the money. We had Congresswoman Gwen Moore talking about your right to vote and your value of your vote. And your vote is just as powerful, just as strong as Elon Musk's vote. Now, unfortunately, he has a little more money than we do. Come back. We'll dive into that 855-752-4842.
This is Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
Hello, John Zarbano here, and I'm running to represent you in Wisconsin's 6th Congressional District. I want to evict Glenn Grothman from Congress, and I need your help. Wisconsin now has fair election maps. Yet many people may not participate this November because they don't register. I'm speaking now directly to the 100,000 unregistered citizens of our district. Your voice matters. You can register to vote at your clerk's office or online at myvote.wi.gov and click register to vote. Your vote counts. If you care about women's rights, if you care about working people getting a living wage, if you care about clean air, clean water, our very planet, vote. Vote like your democracy depends on it. I'm John Zarbano, and I approve this message.
Paid for by John Zarbano for Congress.
The green and gold, tailgating the frozen tundra. Lambeau Field has a legacy all its own, including where to build it. Residents on both sides of Green Bay argued for it. Officials wanted property with room for growth. In the end, 50 acres of farmland was purchased, but the address, Ashwaubenon. More bargaining, and in 1956, the land was annexed to Green Bay. Now, do you know the other reason leaders considered this annexation so important? Parking, beer sales, keeping the Packers in Green Bay? The answer coming up. The Green Bay City Stadium project moved quickly from there, and in less than a year, opened with a Packers-Bears game. It became Lambeau Field in 1965, following the death of team co-founder and coach Curly Lambeau. So did you guess why the land annexation was so important? It's all three, keeping the team in the city, parking, and beer sales. Ashwaubenon was dry at the time. Officials believe Packers fans wanted to be able to buy beer and could in Green Bay. This history makes it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, the Fox Valley's home of Mino and the Mayor.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show. Last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up on the lines right now. 855-752-4842. Matt Rothschild in studio and filling in for me tomorrow and Friday. I will be out of town. Matt, thank you so much for helping out here at Civic Media. Now, some of you may know him, formerly with the Progressive, of course, the author of the book, 12 Ways to Save Democracy in Wisconsin, and the new Wisconsin Forward podcast rolling out here on the Civic Media Network. But this is where I want your expertise, Matt, former executive director from the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. We had Nick Ramos, the current director, on earlier this week. Matt, that was your old role, counting the money, checking the money, going on in the politics. And let me throw a couple of numbers out to you, if I may, from CNN. Some of the world's wealthiest figures, led by conservative donor Miriam Adelson and tech billionaire Elon Musk, have funneled tens of millions of dollars into political groups in recent months to boost Trump's White House bid. Now, Musk, of course, the world's richest person, gave nearly $75 million to a pro-Trump super PAC that he helped form over the summer. Adelson, a staunch Trump backer and heir to casino fortune, gave even more, plowing $95 million into another outside group backing the former president, according to the FEC. Altogether, and this is stunning to me, just three billionaires, Elon Musk, Miriam Adelson, and wait for it, Wisconsin, Midwest packaging magnate Richard Uihlein, donated roughly $220 million in a three-month period.
I mean,
not total.
Holy shnikes.
3 months, $220 million in 3 months from three billionaires. That seems like a whole lot of free speech, Matt.
It is just an obscenity, isn't it? I mean, this is the revenge of Citizens United. Citizens United, the U.S. Supreme Court decision in 2010 that said super rich people can just spend absolutely as much money as they possibly ever dreamed of to try to tell us who to elect or who to oppose in an election, so long as they don't coordinate with the candidate themselves, but you know they're helping out that candidate. I mean, it makes a mockery of the idea that we have an equal say in our democracy. I mean, that's the fundamental fact. I can't spend $220 million. I can't spend $95 million. I can't spend $1 million. I can't spend $100,000. I can't spend $20,000 or $10,000. or even $1,000 on someone who I want to see. I've never spent money like that.
Hey, man, can I borrow 10 bucks, man?
I can get you a beer. But that's about right. it. I mean, it's just ridiculous that these three individuals can drown out millions of American voices who have no capacity to enter into the political arena the way they're entering the political arena. I mean, Gwen Moore was right. In the voting booth, we all have as much say as Elon Musk or Miriam Adelson or Richard Uihlein, but we don't have as much say right now. They have a lot more say than we do. And there's something fundamentally wrong about that in a democracy. And, you know, the Citizens United decision and some other bad U.S. Supreme Court decisions going back to the 19th century allowed this to happen. The idea that corporations are persons, the idea that money is speech, those are falsehoods. And we are being adversely affected by these falsehoods right now. And it's just, it's disgusting when you see the amount of money. And this is what this money is paying for, all that mud that's splattering on all our screens right now, whether it's a TV screen or phone or a computer screen.
Matt, is there any solace that the Harris campaign has raised over $1 billion since she announced? Obviously, a lot of small donors, but there's some big money going there as well. Does that help even it out? Or is it just all kind of gross?
Well, it's all kind of gross. I'm heartened by the number of small donors she's getting. But, you know, by and large, our politics shouldn't be a tug of war between, you know, three right-wing billionaires and, you know, three left-wing billionaires. I mean, you know, in a democracy, we're all supposed to have an equal tug on the rope here, and we just don't. And it's ugly, really ugly.
And it needs to be addressed, hopefully, in our lifetimes, but don't keep your fingers crossed.
Yeah, got to overturn Citizens United. Maggie Dawn was talking about it with her guest today. And there are efforts underway in this country, here in Wisconsin, with Wisconsin United to Amend, and all across the country with the Move to Amend movement. That, I hope, will happen in my lifetime. We've got to overturn Citizens United, or we got to get better U.S. Supreme Court justices to do it. And the way to do that is to elect Kamala Harris, because she'll have some appointees to make.
Or expand the court. 855-752-4842. Keith from Middleton, you will have the last caller word today. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Oh, did you say Keith? I couldn't hear
you. Yep, Keith, you're up. Yep, welcome.
Hey, Matt, thank you very much for your comments about Citizens United. My concern with the Citizens United, I'm going to change what I was going to talk about because of this, is that I don't think it's any longer just Republicans who are going to be backing the fight against overturning it. I think enough Democrats are seeing money in their coffers from Citizens United that they're not as eager as they should be to overturn that. Do you agree?
Totally agree with you, Keith. Thanks for the call from Middleton. Yeah, I mean, this problem is a bipartisan problem because the Democrats have learned to play in the big money arena, too. And, you know, it's just not the case that they should spend the majority of their time, you know, cuddling up to the super billionaires and not talking to the rest of us. And those super, super rich people shouldn't have so much say, whether they're liberals or whether they're conservatives. We got to overturn Citizens United and get some more equality in the political arena.
My man, Matt Rothschild, thank you so much for joining me. Thank you for filling in on the seat for the next couple of days. Thank you, Jess, working hard on the board. They will be back with you tomorrow, 4 to 6 p.m. Make sure you tune in. Matt, I know you got some guests lined up. Anyone you want to share right now?
Angela Lang, Black Leaders Organizing for Community. She'll be here, and Joe Zabecki, too.
Excellent. Thank you, Matt. Thank you, Jess. Thank you, Congresswoman Gwen Moore. Thank you all. I will be back in the chair on Monday. Have a great weekend. We'll see you real soon.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
On the next New Wisco Weekend, what is joy and how do you find it? I'm Lisa Hale.
And I'm Terry Barr. We'll take you to one place with joy in its name, the joy of music and more.
Saturday mornings at 8, Sundays at 11 on WGBW and WISS.
Your new Total Wine in Appleton has the largest selection of wines, spirits, and beers, plus totally low prices and friendly service from our helpful guides. With over 8,000 wines, 4,500 spirits, and 2,500 beers, you're sure to find your favorites and something new. You can even order in-store or curbside pickup. Find what you love, love what you find, only at Total Wine & More. Now open in Appleton at Fox River Commons next to Barnes & Noble.
Drink responsibly, B21.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS 1100 AM Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.